we're live. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Outlaw Picks podcast. We're actually live today. This has actually happened.
Right now. We're trying it out.
You've got some reads to do, haven't you? It's a bit casual Tuesday, isn't it? We've got tea. The sun's out. Raptors have got the door open. They're through the other side of this door, so they can enjoy
making
the sunshine while we're in.
Got to make the
in the dark hole with these artificial lights on. I feel like I'm in some kind of greenhouse. Anyway, you've got reads to do, haven't you?
Yeah, we do. We have our partners and sponsors.
You do that.
Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. We have 5 days to get something organised for Father's Day here in the UK. So if I was you, I would grab him a performance pack with a weed whacker in. He will thank you for it. Nose hairs, ears hairs. We talked about it before. That time of life where these things come astray, don't they? And if you want to get in one of those presents and you drop in Full Reptile at the checkout, Manscaped will give you 20% off and they will give you free shipping. So roll over to manscaped.com and they will give you a lovely gift for your Father's Day.
Someone said in the chat, I thought that was Booger Beard. That means I need to cut my hair, doesn't it?
I was talking about you or me. Did you see that whole Booger Beard story? Is he giving him tickets and getting him to the event?
I love the guy. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's very cool.
How are the Raptors doing that? There's Manscaped on the screen on here, but that's not.
I can't see that.
Very clever Raptors.
Hold on, I want to see.
We're actually live today. So as we're going through, if you've got any questions, just drop them in the chat, and we'll try and get to a few of them.
We will.
It's nice to be interactive.
Read.
Go on.
One more read.
Well, you read it because then you can drink some and it's like rocket fuel.
I'm
you can
going to hit this during the show. So a big thank you to C4 Energy who managed to get us through the UFC 263 ride along, which was an awesome show, even more so that we were fueled with C4 and their natural smart energy.
It is really good, and I don't drink energy drinks.
You're not a big
genuinely,
energy.
Genuinely, I don't drink.
Yeah, right. There you go. There's a really endorsement to get that past your guard is impressive. So one of the things about C4, one of the things we held off for a little while, didn't we? And then when they bought the smart energy range out, we jumped on board. One of the reasons is the way that they extract their caffeine. They don't chemically synthesize their caffeine. They ferment green tea. It's called an Innovatea. It's a trademark, Innovatea. The way they extract their caffeine, they've trademarked, and that's what they're using here. And they combine it with a nootropic called Cognizin. So you're getting a bit of a focus effect as well as getting obviously your caffeine rush and your energy from that. So
I'm not an energy drink person at all. I've just never liked them, but this was surprisingly really, really good. And I had it, 2 minutes into the main card, I think it was. And I was
got you through.
Yeah.
Because you did interviews after the ride.
I did. I spoke to Submission Radio as well. Yeah, you all went to bed.
Fair play. If you guys want to jump on board with C4 Energy, go to c4energy.com, put in Full Reptile, and they'll give you a massive 30% discount on your energy drinks. There we go. Sponsors for today. I'll crack this open. That's loud, isn't it? Should have done it right there.
That was what Owen would have done. Have you seen the mess he's left on the ride-along set?
I have seen the mess he's left
on
the ride.
Did he have melted chocolate in his back pockets and he just kind of wiggled himself into the seat?
Smushing it on there as he's going through.
Like marking his territory so nobody else wants to sit there.
That's his spot.
Okay.
It was a big event, wasn't it?
It was a big event. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that first, shall we?
Yeah, 263. I mean, the ride-along was good. I think over 40,000 people have watched it.
I think so.
I think that's a.
It's very cool. And we got another torn in half ligament limb as well. Like what's the deal with that?
The
last one was
Chris
Wyman.
Ride along, isn't it? It's cursed the ride along. But it was a great show, wasn't it? I enjoyed it even at 6 a.m. I think we finished up at 6 a.m, didn't we? So it's a rough one, but the energy was there. I think.
Did you see the thing? It was because of all the decisions, it was officially the longest amount of octagon time in one event.
Yeah, right.
Because it's like, I was just looking through this. I mean, like all four fights on the preliminary card were decisions. Four of the five on the early prelims were decisions, apart from Terence McKinney, who stole the show with that 7-second knockout.
Beautiful.
But then, I mean, the thing is, obviously, I don't mind the decisions, especially when the fights are competitive. But then the main card as well. You know, I mean, just Edwards Diaz. I feel like I'm still recovering from that. You know what I mean? Like the up and down. It was
Just at the time, just couldn't believe it. And like, Nate could have won that.
Yeah, he was so close.
He just paused for, what, 4 seconds?
He seemed really upset at the press conference as well. Yeah. Like, he was genuinely really upset at the press conference. He was, like, he did well to hold it together, but, you know, you could see how much it means to him. I heard that he's got one fight left on his contract.
Ooh.
And Damian Maia's the same situation.
It's going to cost some money.
I want to see Damian Maia v. Ben Askren as the co-main event. As the co-main event to Nick Diaz, Jake Paul on a Triller card.
Wow.
Everyone gets paid. That'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
You know you're doing something right if you get a compliment out of Dana about being the boy post-fight, because you know that compliment is going to cost him an extra $10 million next
Definitely.
Time.
Definitely.
Next time he does something.
With that compliment comes zeros on a paycheck.
Exactly.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You know you're going all right. But he's just a massive fan favourite, isn't he?
Yeah.
Everyone loves him.
Cult leader.
He's
a cult leader. Him and his brother.
They love him.
But now I can't imagine what it's going to be like to see Nick come back.
Yeah.
Because I mean, people's last memory of him was him, you know, reclined on the canvas against Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
I mean, who does that?
who does that?
Yeah, they were brilliant. Yeah, it was incredible. What was interesting, though, about the press conferences, Nate was talking a lot about the fact that, you know, that up and down, you know, he'd peaked and then he had to kind of hang out for a month because he got cut.
Yeah,
and,
that's right. He lost a bit of motivation.
Yeah, lost some motivation. Yeah. And then the... You know, like they asked him about like the kind of playing around and the joking and stuff. And he really kind of said, I didn't really have much of a plan. I was just trying to, you know what I mean? It was like
it's
there wasn't really a plan.
If somebody likes to try and control things, to go into something like that with no plan, I'm just like, oh, why would you do that?
Right. The fact that you can cruise against a world-class fighter. I mean, obviously, he took a bit of damage, but he came in there with scar tissue. You know, that's not a surprise. And some of those straight lefts that he took in the fourth round, like he took what, three or four clean left
big
hands
clean
in
shots,
the fourth round, but then landed one clean one in the fifth round and nearly had Leon out.
And just stole the hearts of everyone in the arena. Like it was more about him than Moreno winning the first Mexican born champion.
It'll be one of the Diaz brothers will be governor of California now. Arnie set the precedent. We'll see the Diaz brothers in office soon.
Oh man, wouldn't that be wild? So Moreno got his
amazing
belt, didn't he? Yeah, unreal.
What an amazing performance.
Seems deserved, doesn't it? It just seems like he's not had all his own way. Mm-hmm. He's had a rough ride in some respects. He lost his comeback. And he put on a really solid performance, didn't he?
All round.
Really
just
solid.
Just all round. And it was nice to see Figueiredo give him the respect that he didn't give him in the first round of the last fight.
Yeah.
But I actually think that gave him more room for Moreno just to get into the fight and take over. Mm. Because by the time, you know, Figueiredo started to try and act on what he was on the fact that the fight was slipping away from him.
Yeah. It seemed Moreno off, man. Already, like,
he did a bit.
Absolutely not.
It's the weight
taking
class thing, though,
away,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
But, yeah, maybe. Maybe it's coming up a lot outside of this. It's coming up a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's talking about how we're going to have to get people fighting at the weight where all of their energy is dedicated towards getting better, fighting, and not food and restriction.
That's it.
And misery.
Yeah.
And, you know, even physically trying to hold it together on such low calories. And,
yeah.
And when your focus is elsewhere, it's not. Something's going to change. Something's got to change. I know one are doing great things. Like we've spoke to one a few times about their weight classes and hydration protocols and stuff. And that is obviously that's moving us in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think something's going
to
change.
The turning point is you have to convince the fighters that it's in their best interest to not be cutting loads of weight.
Yeah.
And the reality is, the unfortunate reality is at this current time in the sport, because the gap in technique across the board, especially that base level Glover Teixeira, you know, standard of technique, because not everybody's got that, the difference of a few pounds in a fight can make a difference. You know, if the fight is quite even and it's all about who can hold top position or, you know, I mean,
we're still on a rapid evolution curve in the sport, you know what I mean? Like,
we're definitely seeing people changing, like training healthier and competing healthier is better for performances. Like, imagine if they put a team weight cap on the NFL, what that would do to the games.
Fast. You'd have to actually be fit. Like those linemen would actually have to be fit.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, a lot of them would be miserable as well. They'd be cutting weight, their training between games would then be about, you know, maintaining the weight of the team.
I mean, they're doing team sports all the time is they manipulate the rules to try and get a better product.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like the number of interchanges you can do in rugby league and stuff is to put focus on either slowing the game up or slowing the game down or speeding the game up. Mm. You know, it's plenty of. It seems inevitable to me.
Yeah.
It seems inevitable.
I think in this instance, though, the right business move for Figueiredo is to move up. I did see he asked for the rematch against Moreno.
But I did, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think we're seeing the best version of him right now.
No.
You know, not at this weight class. I think it'd be interesting to know what his walk around weight is, because he's still going to have to cut to make bantam weight.
Absolutely shredded, yeah. Though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still going to have to cut to make bantam weight.
seems as inevitable as Bitcoin to me.
Oh, you keep talking about this. I know nothing about it.
We'll get on that.
What else stood out? See, anything you want to talk about? Bilal Muhammad looked good.
Yeah, but yeah.
Damian Maia's got one fight on his contract. Wants Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz fancies Damian Maia.
Yeah, go for
MMA
it.
In a gi would be awesome, wouldn't it? Imagine. Weird. Old school. Get the old UFC one canvas on there. Give Damian Maia that long front kick that Hoyce used to use.
I love it.
Yeah, man. Cool.
No, good for Bilal, and you know, a potential banana skin for someone that is rising up through the ranks and needed to win that.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
Would have been almost devastating to his run if he was to lose that after everything else that's happened for him.
Especially because Damian Maia's trajectory at what 42 is, you know,
only going one way.
Yeah,
really.
His momentum's petering out. Yeah,
he's landing the plane.
It's worth us mentioning the Riddell Dober fight as well.
Knew it, didn't we? We picked it. It was amazing. Just going to be a banger, and it was.
There was no way it couldn't be. You know, you've got two guys you can bank on having an exploit.
Love it.
Dober trusts his chin and his punching power and his striking combinations.
That head, that's where he gets his trust of his chin, that block head he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of similar proportions to this Mr. T bobblehead.
Yeah, it's about right, isn't it?
But you just, you know, it's gonna be difficult to catch that guy clean and put him away. You know, he's a tough individual, heavily muscled neck. Yeah. You know,
I could watch that over and over.
Yeah,
yeah, fight every couple of weeks.
And Brad Riddell does look like Lando Venata.
Yeah, he does, for sure.
They need to fight. Sure. I wonder if like would have like the universe implode if they face one another. Maybe they're the same person from parallel universes. You know, that old Jet Li movie.
Yeah, and if they meet,
like yesterday, yeah.
Like on Back to the Future, you can't meet the you from the past.
So we've got to talk about the Paul Craig,
armbar.
Whatever
it's not
it was,
a good look, is
the,
it?
The twisting of
it's not a good look.
No, look like
you see, didn't
like
see the picture this morning.
Pull a leg off.
You see them having a few beers with each other.
Yeah,
this morning. Yeah. Well, not this morning, but the picture was out this morning. Yeah, it's funny. I like that. That's good.
But apparently that ref because I said belt. On the ride along, there's no way that guy's ever done a grappling session.
He's a black belt.
Black belt. Wow. Maybe it's just a fetish. Maybe he's got a limb breaking fetish, and that's why he got into jiu-jitsu in the first place. But he's got a reputation for that.
Has he?
Yeah, apparently. They were asking Dana about it at the press conference, and
shit. Oh, do you call him the Mazzagatti of wherever they were?
Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dana's like, oh, well, you know, don't want to shit on the commission. I'm like, yeah, but you know. We just let these referees keep twisting people's fucking arms off and stuff.
How's anything going to get any better?
The fact that he's got a reputation on the local scene for being a bad ref.
Yeah, I know.
Like, who's doing the vetting of these guys?
Who knows?
Who's training these motherfuckers?
It's a mess, isn't it? No, it was not a good look, was it, at all?
No, it wasn't.
I mean, I'm hoping the way that was injured, that's not a monumental rehab. Like, I think that'll go back in. We'll have some ligaments to...
Yeah.
Maybe surgically reattach, I'm not sure.
Didn't Dana say it had popped back in, he had full range of motion? There's got to be some damage around the area, though. I mean,
for sure.
You don't move bones that far. Especially for how long it was out as well.
Yeah.
We watched the Danny Williams fight yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah,
when he dislocated his shoulder and still knocked the guy out with his lead hand.
Unbelievable, fair dude.
Amazing. But like, that was out for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do? You can't...
A lot of people would just...
It's a technical submission. You've got to just stop. You've got to just jump in there, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of fighters, like Tim Sylvia, when he had his arm broken by Frank Mir, like he'd have carried on.
Yeah.
That was Herb, wasn't it? Herb jumped in and stopped that one.
I think it was good of him. Uncharacteristic.
But that's the thing. I mean, you know, like some fighters will fight through that. Like you could have let Jamal Hill carry on there. He was never getting out the triangle for a start.
Yeah.
But especially not with one arm. Jeez. No. I guess I mean, limped on out of a few things. It might have been useful for
a little bit of extra space there. Good all over good car, man. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Look at us on a Tuesday afternoon with 250 people watching.
Hey guys,
thanks for joining us. It's first time we've done this live because the ride along's been working so well, and you know the Raptors are trying to figure out ways of cutting corners so they can spend more time in the sun.
Yeah, you know what? It was them
on the other side of this door. I can hear them chuckling.
It was them that pushed it to do it.
Of course
they
did.
Let me have a look and get to see the chat. There we go.
You got it figured out.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Do you want to move on from this card? Do you want to talk about how terrifying Moff Saeb Loev is? And how much you would love his wrestling game?
I would love his wrestling game. And that was a tough fight, man. Like, that was Billy not Strutt an easy
the
fight.
Every time, wouldn't
all
you?
Day, yeah.
Bring it, boys.
Love it. And I like how just cold he is.
Yeah.
Just cold about it. He just gets it done.
Yeah.
You know, he was clearly like backs his wrestling. But it's, you know, he's not just a wrestling guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's a rounded game to him. But he's just super strong in that area.
It's just so natural for him.
Yeah.
It's so instinctive the way that he flows through it and breaks it down.
Nothing's a dead end, is it?
Mate, it's literally
everything flows to the next.
Exactly
thing,
that. It's literally like someone who's good at playing an instrument.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Just that fluidity, and you know, I bet he shows up to fight week with his gloves in a violin case as well. In a black suit, dressed like Lex Friedman, with his violin case, with his packed lunch and his training. The training gear.
I mean, so he'll go up the rankings, but we've said three or four times, I think, that the idea that he is ranked at 14, 15 just shows you how ridiculous the division is. Like it's only a matter of time. Like, he's going to be top five, isn't he? He's too solid to not be eventually, I would think.
Yeah. But the problem that the UFC are going to run into soon is that people are going to stop answering the phone when they know that his name's on the other end of it.
He's going to have a Makhachev problem, isn't he?
He's just a horrible fight. But he might be a really good matchup for Volkanovski. Imagine that as a fight.
Yeah.
Like, who would you put him against?
Why would you want to fight him?
No, you wouldn't. Like, that's exactly it.
Even if you get the win, it's not like a superstar name. Like, everyone knows he's a pain in the ass, but it's not like it gives you mad credibility and he's going to get you straight up to a title shot or something.
No.
Basically lose-lose.
Yeah. Because he needs a couple of big wins in order for people to know his name. It's not that he doesn't have the skills to do it. It's getting the opportunities to do it.
Exposure, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, the main event this weekend is Ige, who's ranked 8 against Zombie, who's 4. But then, like, everybody above Ivolev is, you know, he's a horrible fight for all of them. You know, like, Barbosa, if he closes Barbosa down, shuts his kicking game down.
Done.
Same as Chikadze.
Done.
You know, Arnold Allen's got some good ninja chokes, but he'd be constantly on the defensive against Moff Saeb Loev. He'd have to do something really impressive to maintain that striking range. And this is the thing, Arnold Allen does have good takedown offense, but then a lot of people have had good takedown offense against the likes of Makhachev and Khabib, have looked really good against everybody else. But I just think he might be a different cut altogether.
Yeah, you know? I think I agree. I think he's on a... The only thing that is going to derail him a little bit is being stagnant and people just going, nah, you're right, thanks.
Yeah, losing interest because no one wants to fight him. Like, Tyson Mob was a bit like that. I think he's been released now.
Is it?
I think he was having visa issues in the end. They couldn't. But then, you know, that's an even greater issue for him because not only do people not want to fight him, but they certainly don't want to travel to fight him.
No.
You know? Whereas at least Moff Saeb Loev can sit outside the PI in Vegas and call everyone out. We just need to teach him how to say, I'll fight you.
Yeah, that is not someone you want your name in their mouth, is it?
Not at all.
No way.
Not at all.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Shall we move on to...
It's fight night coming up this weekend. Who's kicking off? The Tapology. I've got two moans. One, Tapology...
Go on, have a good moan.
Yeah, I will. I'm British, so you know. We do like a moan. Tapology changed the order this morning, I think. Well, maybe the UFC changed the order and then Tapology changed the order. Be surprised if it's the other way around. And god damn it, Fight Pass app, you're the least user-friendly app ever invented, I think. It was driving me insane last night, not being able to find fights. It's just, sort it out. Come on.
The person I feel sorry for when it comes to Fight Pass is Carl Robertson. Because there are three different ways of spelling his name, and they've used all of them on Fight Pass.
Yeah, well, it was driving me insane last night.
Oh, look at that.
What? What you got?
You're seeing orbs again. There's writing up there. It's above my head.
What do you mean? You fucking idiot.
Is it stuck my glasses? Anyway, carry on.
Anyway.
Where are we starting?
Lara Procopio.
I got too much Casey sun, O'Neil. I think, yesterday. You what?
You had too much sun.
Not enough sleep.
And Casey
okay. O'Neil. This is a really evenly matched fight.
Yeah. Lara caught me out last time against Molly. Mm. I was like, oh, she looks like a housewife. She's not got shit.
It's because she had a rough fight against Thingy, though, didn't she? Like that split decision loss that she had against Carl Rosa.
Yeah. But she's solid.
She's really good.
She's pretty well rounded, isn't she? Mm-hmm. She's very solid. I thought Lara was going to go. I thought Molly was going to go in there and beat her up, but she didn't at all. And she got shut down. She's not spectacular, is she, Lara? But she's just solid and fundamental and averagely well rounded.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine her going on a mad tear and being the champ, but I can see her hanging around and causing a few upsets and being a problem for a lot of people. Like this sort of thing coming up, youngster coming up, you've got to get past her if you want to progress.
Yeah, but I think Casey O'Neil's a good matchup for her just purely based on the way that she fights. I mean, if you remember her last fight against Shayna Dobson, she was just like a rash. She was all over her. She never ever let
her shit out.
All over her, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that's gonna sway the momentum of this fight, because Procopio can fight like that as well.
Right.
But she was a little bit nullified by Rosa on the feet, and there was not much grappling engagement in that fight. And then on the flip side with Molly, she knew that Molly was a good boxer, so she took her down and she grounded her and controlled her there. I don't know if she's going to be able to do that quite as easy against O'Neil, though, because she's got, first of all, she looks strong for the weight class.
Yeah,
she's got good
strong.
Scrambling ability. And then even when she's grounding and pounding, like her weight and balance.
Evenly distributed, isn't it?
You can tell it's educated. You know, she was controlling wrists and breaking frames down while she was hitting. And
she's nasty.
Yeah, she is.
She's like nasty. Her ground and pound is very, very nasty. Yeah, I like it. She's, she's well rounded as well. She's no fear of standing up and striking with people. She's got good wrestling, and if she puts you on your back, you're in a bit of trouble. She really did beat the shit out of Dobson, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, yeah. I think Casey O'Neil will come through this.
I think
it'll be a strong test, won't it?
I think so. Yeah.
You know, maybe even the sort of test that she needs if she wants to elevate herself up through the rankings.
I think it's a really evenly matched fight. I just feel like Casey O'Neil might be a bit more present physically, a bit bigger and stronger. Mm. And I just think she's a little bit more ferocious, especially with the pace that she sets. Good fight, though. I mean, you know,
good way to start that card.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where her grappling limitations are, because I think Procopio can test her there.
Mm.
But I think I'm leaning towards O'Neil on that one.
O'Neil. Right.
Okay.
Joaquin Silva and Ricky Glenn, is that next up?
Ricky Glenn, yes.
Rick Glenn.
Which way are you going? Which way are you seeing it immediately?
This is going to be a good fight.
Yeah.
This is going to be a really good fight.
See, Rick Glenn sets a similar pace to Casey O'Neil in the way that he fights. I mean, if you think back to that Gavin Tucker fight, I mean, he had four broken bones in his face at the end of that fight.
I mean, aside from the shit refereeing and whether or not that should have been stopped way earlier.
Yeah.
That was
they were talking about it, weren't they? DC
that was
and Rogan.
A brutal performance.
It was.
Yeah, they didn't say stop the fight, did they?
A couple of times.
Did other people say stop a fight?
I think they said
on
that
a broadcast
fight could have been stopped.
Oh, right. there's your mistake.
You know, the thing is, though, like I watched it back because I remember watching that fight at the time and thinking, yeah, you know, this, like, especially in that last sort of 90 seconds, like it almost looked like he was working on instinct. Like he's turning, he's recovering guard, and he's covering. And,
yeah, but he's actually there.
He doesn't
he's
look like he's present
programmed.
To me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, did you see that finish in one? Oh, I can't remember the guys. I wouldn't be able to pronounce it. I'll find it and post it up on my socials. The guy got dropped so hard that when the referee came in to separate it, he got put in a full heel hook.
Oh, I did see that.
Did
yeah,
you
I did
see it? The guy was completely automatic. Media, he just jumped on it and was
and
it was
and
like,
held it
I mean,
for a little bit as well.
Good, exactly. Like the referee was lucky that he you know he didn't get some damage.
I mean, like what is training? Training is in trying to imprint these things on your subconscious, so you're operating on a system that you're not even aware you're operating on.
Yeah.
So it's working.
Yeah.
It worked for him.
The difficulty is recognizing that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like the referee needs to kind of
train.
You'll be able to, well, you just need to see the eyes of the fighter. You can see when someone's vacant. Like when Cowboy went back to his stall after getting dropped by Masvidal at the end of the round. Greg Jackson's looking clear at him and he's like, you can see he's not there. Mm. There's a vacancy to them. The other downside is that Rick Glenn wasn't able to muster a great deal of power.
Mm.
And I've been in that situation once before, when I fought my first fight in Japan, because when I got there, I wasn't allowed to use the sauna.
Right.
So I had to.
Did you have tattoos by any chance?
Of course I did, yeah. So I had to cut weight by running.
There's a few you could have used. But...
yeah. I've got too many fingers for those saunas. But it was like I had to run, I had to cut weight, and I had to
use. Just spent.
I was just done.
Yeah.
And in the last round, poor guy, I hit him with everything and I just didn't have enough to finish him.
Yeah, right. He was begging to be finished.
I just couldn't put him away.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the situation there. You're like if Rick Glenn had, instead of throwing 30 punches, if he'd have picked line 10 one good up, ones, yeah. I think the referee might have stepped in.
Yeah.
Because the impact of the shots wasn't overwhelming.
Mm. I mean, he's been close. He's lost, a couple of decisions, a couple of split decisions. His record, I think, is maybe a little bit harsh. Like he seems like he's a good rounded fighter.
If you look at the guys that he's losing to, though, I mean, Evan Dunham's, he's just an absolute nightmare. Yeah. Such a strong wrestler and grappler. He used to train with him at Drysdale's and. You know, he's one of those guys like a Jim Miller. Like you get the phone call and it's Evan Dunham and you're like, okay, right, I've got to be in shape for this one. I've got to be ready because he's going to put it on me. Miles Jury, another one, real talented individual. Is he with PFL now?
I think he fought
out his contract, didn't he?
I think he might be.
And then Kevin Aguilar is, another guy that's massively underestimated. He's got really good hands. You know, leans heavy on his lead leg, peppers people with boxing. This fight against Joaquin Silva, honestly, I think it's another good bit of matchmaking because Joaquin Silva is just he's struggling at this level in the UFC,
I suppose you always sort of say this, but against Hakparat, he was sort of doing okay till he wasn't doing okay.
Yeah,
and he got slept.
Yeah,
he got slept by him. But up till then, I was sort of like, all right, this isn't a mismatch.
Yeah,
and Hakparat is. Pretty widely regarded as being, hot up and coming fighter, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, after what Hakparat did to Gukasey, like, okay, he's in problems for everybody. Yeah. But then, like on the flip side to that,
it was a beautiful left hand that dropped Silva, though, wasn't it?
But this like you look at that fight. So that was going well until it wasn't, and then on the flip side, the Jared Gordon fight was going terribly until it went really well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think Ricky Glenn might close this one out.
Mm.
I think he's probably just a little bit better at a few more things than Joaquin.
Yeah, agreed.
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 Yeah.
Okay. Oh, hang on. I've got too many pages open here. What's going on? I'm on Polaris now.
That's coming up.
It is coming up. It's on the same day as Glory.
Yeah, just found out. We'll have to split resources, might we?
Split the camp. We have to send the Raptors to Rotterdam and we'll have to head to Southampton for Polaris.
That'd be good, man. That'd be good. Good for us to be covering kickboxing and grappling at the same time,
Yeah. I'm going to record a couple of things. I'm going to do a couple of war rooms for that Glory card. I'm going to do a legendary kickboxers on Badr Hari as well.
Man, they're rolling Glory, aren't they?
Rolling. Got Endeavor behind them now for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, Badr Hari, Overeem, some old school names in there. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, wicked.
Really good.
We'll cover that heat in the next month or so, won't we? We'll get loads of
Well, we'll stream the undercard as well, aren't we? We'll be streaming the undercard on our channel.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay.
Josh Parisian
against Rock Martinez.
Martinez.
This is going to be a mess.
Yeah.
This is going to be an ugly mess of a fight.
I mean, if you put Rock on his back, he doesn't have many answers, does he? There's not a lot there.
No.
If Josh goes in and tries to gunsling, then it's kind of 50-50 in it because they're both big dudes. They've both got a lot of power.
It'd have been better to have flipped this fight with Felipe and... what's his name last weekend?
Oh, who was that? Felipe and...
Because he used to be a middleweight.
Yeah, that's right.
Jake Collier.
That's right, Collier. Yeah.
So, like, if you'd have put Collier against Rock Martinez, you've basically got two really fat middleweights fighting one another. Whereas Parisian, I mean, he is a big heavyweight. I think he had to cut. Was it 295 he had to cut from? He's a bit 6'4", you know, nearly an 80-inch reach.
Yeah, he's a big man, isn't he?
Yeah. And he's kind of dipped his toe in the UFC before, didn't he? He was on the Contender Series, won by a spinning back fist. Then he lost on the Contender Series, on the Ultimate Fighter season finale.
If he was smart, he'd do what Romanov did to Rock.
Put him on his back. Beat him up, choke him out. Yeah,
exactly.
Has he got, what's his submission?
Romanov got a sub out of, Rock got a sub out of Jerome Labana with a headlock.
Did he really? Yeah. In a kickboxing match.
Yeah. Must have stole his lunch money or something.
What? I suppose we can't underestimate him then.
Mm. I think that was it. He's pretty susceptible to a sub as well.
He's always going to, yeah, for sure. Rock's always going to see his limit in the heavyweight division because he's just not big enough, is he?
No.
I mean, what is he, 5'11", 5'10"? You've got to have rocks for hands if he's
not a heavyweight 5'10", frame.
72-inch reach.
Yeah.
That's a lightweight frame.
Yeah, that's just a
fat, like, your average welterweight.
Fat middleweight, really.
It's not even a middleweight. Like, you look at his stats. I mean, like, McGregor's reach is 74. So McGregor's got a 2-inch reach advantage on him. And I mean, what's McGregor? 5'8", 5'9"? Like, he's only 5'10".
Yeah. You know, enjoys his life, though.
Absolutely. He enjoys all of it, apart from the 15 minutes that he's stuck on the bottom getting beaten up.
He is not tracking his calories, I tell you that.
He's not tracking much.
I think this is Parisian's to lose. Like,
yeah.
If he gets all egoic about it and stands there and is like, all right, then let's bang it out. Then, you know, Rock's got some power in his hands. We've seen it. But
I mean, Dontell May's kind of showed the path to victory, didn't he?
Yeah.
He just follows that. Even if he doesn't get the finish, you can just stick to that path until, you know, a potential finish opens up.
Absolutely.
Agreed. Okay. Matt Semelsberger.
Semelsberger versus Chaos Williams.
Chaos Williams. Lovely counter to a low kick from Semelsberger in his last fight.
Traded it. Yeah.
Stick him with a right. Straight down the pipe.
Yeah.
I like this fight.
How do you stop someone kicking you? Smash him in the face every time I kick you.
How do you stop someone subbing you?
What was that?
You're right, Mystery.
That's phone.
Oh, that was a phone. That sounded
exactly like a phone.
Is your phone cracked? It is. He said no with a laugh. It definitely is.
Semelsberger is game as you like, isn't he? I like him, man. He's got some pretty solid. He's pretty solid all round, really. He's good. He's a touch wild sometimes, isn't he? He doesn't have crazy power, but he's sharp, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's sharp and game.
He's a touch wild and he's fighting someone called Chaos.
Yeah, right.
Who's also a touch wild.
He's also a touch wild.
A touch loopy on his punches.
This could get loose.
Yeah. This would be, I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but I could quite easily see this one being one of the two blasts the other one out of the water.
Right.
And I think you could flip a coin on it, to be honest. I think they've both got as much potential as one another to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, lots of, like, 30-second knockouts on their records.
Yeah. Yeah. When I think of, like, discipline striking, I always think of Charles Oliveira because the shapes he creates are very, very disciplined. No matter what sort of happens, he always pops back into his reset position, which is very, you know, very stable and very tight and very controlled, very well rehearsed. And, like, Chaos has some powerful strikes, but he doesn't have that reset position, does he? He sort of leaves himself wide open for stuff after he's sort of thrown.
Yeah. And he's a little bit, he can be a little bit take it in turns as well.
Yeah.
Like, you go, I go. And Semelsberger will hit him when he's moving in.
Yeah.
And you've got to think, like, Semelsberger's right down the pipe with his power. Williams loops and he turns his shoulders over the top. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like a really kind of, it's just a natural thudding power that he's been working out on the bag, hitting the bag before he learned how to punch kind of power.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. He slept...
a few people.
He slept Alex Morono.
Yeah, he did.
And to be fair to him, it was almost contradicting what you're saying. They weren't big power loopy punches. You just caught him real nice 3 or 4 times in a row.
Who are you talking about here?
Chaos.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
27 seconds.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Thought my notes are wrong.
I'm just going to keep testing you to see if I can get. That's the heat button. It's calling you out on your notes. Yeah, he did. And Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, who's another real power puncher. But again, you know, like he's got more looping shots as well. So that was kind of a bit more of a trade-off. Yeah. Whereas, you know.
I think Semmelsberger is going to go all right here.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think he's more accurate. And like you say, I just think he's maybe just that level up in terms of his striking.
Yeah.
Maybe not power-wise, but level up in terms of his accuracy and his potentially the understanding of the striking art.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Werner Jandiroba.
Oh.
Against, oh no, you're on a different one.
I got Nega Marano, but doesn't matter.
Well, I'm only going off Tapology. I'm not making this up.
Where's
That's the next one up. Well, you got Raptors. Well, we could just see what Huh? Oh, you deleted your notes. Oh, this is gonna be fun.
I have no idea.
This is gonna be fun.
These two.
All right. So who did he stop? So who did he stop last time?
Man, this is where you pick up the slack.
Oh, is it? Okay, is that how we play?
I almost hit delete. That's dead weird. I looked at it this morning. I almost hit delete by accident. Oh. Who is it? What are the names?
It is Werner Jandiroba against Kanako Murata,
she's hench.
Intense wrestler.
Yeah.
She's got a very strong wrestling game and she thuds as well.
She's all anterior delt and biceps.
Yeah, she is.
I think she's 5'1".
She is 5'1".
She's basically a square.
She's SpongeBob. She's she's 5'1" with a 62-inch reach advantage. With a 62-inch reach, I nearly said advantage then, but I can't imagine she's got a reach advantage on anybody.
That would be wild.
But she doesn't need one though.
62-inch reach advantage. I mean, would be wild.
Did you saw you watched the pound random Marcos into the corner of the octagon?
Yeah,
I mean, they sounded like Khabib's punches against Michael Johnson.
Yeah, man.
I mean. And because she can put you where she wants to hold you as well, and because she's so strong top position, oh man!
Jandiroba's got a few subs on her record, hasn't she? She's got a legitimate jiu-jitsu game. It's the classic, it's the archetype fight, isn't it? That's you know, it's the can the wrestler be dominant enough in top position to nullify all of the sub attempts while getting an offensive ground and pound game off?
Yeah.
Or is she going to get caught? Because it'll be a trap, won't it? She'll get caught if anything.
Yeah, I mean the one thing that concerns me for Jandiroba is that loss to Carla Esparza.
Mm.
You know, right. I mean, you know, Mackenzie Dern was problems because she couldn't get a hold of her.
Yeah,
you know, she just couldn't find her in the octagon. Whereas Carla Esparza just blessed similar her. Kind of game. And as I mean, Carla Esparza maybe has a more tailored wrestling game to MMA, but Kanako Murata can generate power to stop fights. Like, I don't think we've really seen what she's fully capable of yet. And the other thing as well is that she's got 2 Von Flue chokes on her record.
Yeah, she has. Yeah.
So, you know, you can imagine Jandiroba trying to finish a guillotine. As she lands, she's hopped straight past and she's into side control. And then you've got one of those anterior delts on your carotid artery.
Yeah. She, without being too generalist, does she have a judo background? Have you got a profile up? She got a judo background coming from Japan. I wasn't sure.
No, I think it's freestyle wrestling.
Yeah, right.
I don't have it. I don't. Let me see if I can find her on. The problem with, oh no, that's the wrong card.
Yeah, I think.
I think it's freestyle wrestling. I think that's her background. I don't know whether she may have started with judo, but
yeah.
Oh, hang on. She does have a Wikipedia page. Yeah, she was fighting in Rising, wasn't she? Oh, yeah, no, judo, you're correct. Murata was born and raised in Matsuyama. Oh, that's not interesting. The granddaughter of judo dojo master.
That's not interesting because you couldn't pronounce where she was born.
Matsuyama.
All right. I thought you were blagging it.
So she started judo at the age of 3. So you could say she's got a bit of experience in judo.
It's tough.
Have they met
geese
that small?
Not to do.
Aren't they the one that you hang from your rear view mirror in the car?
They're pretty much doing it in school. Everyone's doing it in school. So I'd imagine she's got some judo.
Right. You'd have to get one of those car with the car window little judo gi. 3 years old.
Do you remember that? Remember it, like the family things, like the dad, the mom, the like stick characters. There's just a judoka on the end of it.
Yeah, she's good. Two knockouts,
she'd be too
four
much.
Submissions.
She'd be too much, surely. She'd be too much for her. she'll go super aggressive top game.
Yeah.
I think she'll be too much for her.
I mean, the only advantage I'd want to give to Jandaroba is experience, but then you look at Murata's record, and she's got experience around the world.
Mm.
You know, she's been fighting in Rising and Invicta, you know, good experience. Yeah. Against fighters that have got, I mean, she Von Fluid, Angela Maganyu's UFC vet, and Lanchana Green, another UFC vet.
Yeah.
Rin Nakai's her only loss, and Rin Nakai's a legit killer. She's 18-2. Well, not anymore, she's not. She was. But Rin Nakai was, 22-2 now, Rin Nakai is.
Yeah, I just think she'll be too strong. She'll be too dominant. She should get a win there. A win for the Nihonjin.
You're all Team Japan anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm Team Japan still. Love it.
Okay.
So who's next?
Well, now Negomariano, yeah.
Yeah, right, that's weird.
Now your notes are back in place.
Well, we're back on now.
So Nick Negomariano,
yeah,
against Alexa Kamel.
Annoying. Actually, this wasn't Fight Pass's fault. This is my fault. But I was looking at Alexa Kamel. Kamer. And I think I must have typed in A-L-E-K into the search and then just clicked, like I wasn't concentrating. I was like, fucking hell, he's good. He looks just like a Ratchet. It's like fucking
Ratchet?
Hell, a wreckage. Ratchet. It doesn't look like Ratchet.
I'll be glad when that caffeine kicks in.
Yeah. He looks just like him. And then it turns out it was actually him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look like him. And I just put, Alexander Radic.
Alexander Radlett.
Alexander Rakic in there. But Alexander Rakic is really good.
Alexander Rakic is very good.
But he's not fighting.
He's not fighting on this card.
He's definitely not.
But Nick Negomariano is.
Yeah.
And he's fighting Alexa Kamel.
He is. Nick's the Romanian.
So what can you tell about Alexa Kamel? What have you got in your notes? Have you deleted these as well?
He looks like someone.
He looks like Alexander.
No, he's good. He's come out of a good camp and he's at strong style.
Yeah.
And it just seemed solid, but there was nothing that really sort of stood out. I was like, oh, he's sort of all right. I wasn't particularly like,
not overwhelmed with anything. Yeah. But that is the strong style. You know,
grinding,
Forrest Pettis from back in the day. I fought Forrest Pettis, same kind of thing. A strong wrestler, heavy hands. Obviously, Stipe, Jessica Rai as well.
Yeah,
you know, wrestling based boxing.
It just Cody's out there as well. Is Cody out of strong style? Yeah,
Cody. Garber.
No.
Alpha male.
Okay. Another mistake in the
notes. I'm thinking of starting a new show called Corrections, aren't I? I'm stealing the idea off Seth Meyers, and you're just filling up my list at the moment.
It gives you something to talk about.
It does, I suppose. So Negomariano has been out for a while. His last fight was 2019 in London.
Yeah.
And he was looking really good coming into the UFC, 8-0. And then he fought Sapabeg Safarov, who just was too much for him.
Ragged him around.
Too much for him.
Way too much for him.
Yeah, I mean, he had even holding onto the fence for half of the first round, he was still able to win a decision, like 18 points deducted, and he was just too much for him, wasn't he?
I'm pretty sure he was locked into the fence with like an underhook in the fence and an overhook in the fence.
And Negomariano was scrambling for ankles, wasn't he? Trying to work ankle locks, and he was just hanging on and spinning out and switching his grip.
Was it Leon Roberts had to get in the middle?
Yeah, he had to actually stand between him and the fence at one point.
He was pissed off as well, wasn't he? Like grabbed him and like took a point off him and meant it.
Yeah, but he just got smashed.
Yeah, Safarov was too much, isn't he?
Way
too much. I think this could be another rough night for him, to be honest. I wasn't blown away by Alexa, but
consistent enough to be a problem.
Yeah,
and just to get ahead.
The strong style thing is he's gonna grind on him, and he's gonna put him in some positions he's gonna have to work out of repeatedly. And I just wasn't really blown away by Nick, to be honest.
Yeah,
but then it is tough watching, you know, form an opinion off not that many fights that I watched, and when you see him just getting mauled, then he's. That puts that thought in your mind, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
But still, I think...
You're going with Kamel.
I think Kamel will win that.
All right. First fight on the main card. Diego Lima against Matt Brown.
Yeah. This will be nasty, won't it?
It will be nasty.
This will be guaranteed nasty.
It will. But this is the kind of fight that Matt Brown can get into, though.
Mm.
Like, he struggled with Condit, but that's because Matt Brown can be a bit reckless and Condit can be a real sharp fighter. You know, he can make good decisions. Lima holds back too much for me. Like, he overanalyzes and overthinks a lot of things. Like, you saw that in the Bilal Muhammad fight where Muhammad's just walking him down, and just every time you could see Lima was about to throw something, Bilal Muhammad just bang, bah. Bah, bah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that was probably a conscious thing from Bilal Muhammad because he could see that gap in his game. That's Matt Brown's MO. That's exactly what he does.
He's coming.
And if he closes you down with hands and he starts smashing you with those elbows.
If someone doesn't get opened up here, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Matt Brown's, he's an OG and he's been around forever. We'd love to organise a fight for you two at some stage. That'd
well, we had one, didn't we?
Yeah.
We had one.
Yeah. But he is what he is. Like, he's not changed in, you know, the last 10 fights. He is what he is. He's tough. He's just a hard human being, isn't he?
Yeah. He's a wheelbarrow full of rocks kind of conditioning guy. And,
bag of spanners, you know what I mean? Yeah. but, I mean, I think Lima will... He'll try and hack at him. He's got some nice leg kicks, hasn't he? That's the thing that sort of stood out. He has got a nice kicking game, and I think he'll try and hack at him and, you know, beat him up from the outside. Maybe he likes to try and play that counter striking game, which he's not going to be a problem with. Matt's going to come at you, so if you are going to counter strike, then you know it'll be there for you. But he can't pause and he can't wait on that. He's going to have to let stuff go, otherwise Matt's going to get inside and he's going to smash him up and open him up, and it's going to be a bloody mess, isn't it?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And if you think about the shots that actually land on Matt Brown, the ones that hurt him are the ones that when someone's traveled through with a couple of shots to set up the next one, you kind of need him backing up and moving away.
Yeah.
Because if he's moving forward and you're hitting him with shots, generally he can walk through those a bit because he's got that forward intention.
Mm.
But when he's backing up and he's moving, obviously, you know, he's a little bit more relaxed because he's being defensive. Cowboy pinged him with that head kick.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Lima is going to struggle because he generally is a bit...
It doesn't suit him, that, does it?
Not really.
The easiest, well, not the easiest, but one of the paths to beating Matt, Lima just doesn't seem to have that in his arsenal, does he? I haven't seen him do that.
No. So I mean if I'm Lima and I'm... I just don't see him traveling forward with a multitude of shots. But, you know, if he is throwing single shots, he'd do well to work the body of Matt Brown because that has been a weakness in the past as well.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
long left duck.
Yeah.
I think it's Lima's to lose, but I'm not saying he won't lose it.
I'm back in the old school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I'm back Brown. In the old school. Brown's going to finish him with a cut.
With a cup?
Cut.
Oh, who are you going to say?
No, he's going to glass him. He's going to cup shot.
Cup nut
shot him. No.
What the fuck, bro?
My balls.
I was riding my balls. My
balls.
Okay. Wellington Turman against Bruno Silva. How many Bruno Silvas are there on the roster?
Yeah, a lot. A lot, but I think they all have actual long names.
You reckon?
Our Bruno Silva will do.
Well, let's see if it says it on his Tapology page. Oh, he does, yeah. Bruno Arruda da Silva.
He's just not too bad. He's a bit geary.
Oh, is it?
He's a bit gear. I think he did 2 years for Boldenone.
Did he really? Yeah. What's that?
Steroids.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, he has been fighting in M1.
Yeah, I know. He probably came with the contract, maybe.
He probably thought it was some kind of vaccine.
Well, everyone else is doing it. but before he served that suspension, mate, he was knocking people out. Mm. A lot of them very quickly. He's got he's got a lot of power. You know, he just seems very, very difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
And I think it could go that way there, depending on how he comes back from the suspension.
Oh, he's been out for a good bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, a couple of years.
So his bout with Deron Wynn was cancelled, and that was the 22nd. So that's almost exactly 2 years, but not quite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. All right, then. Well, we'll see, won't we? Because that was also his UFC debut. So he made it to the roster and never made it to the octagon, which doesn't bode well considering he's got loads of first-round knockouts and then he signed with the UFC and immediately failed a drug test. Yeah. Now you're going.
It's not good. It makes you think he's been on that, you know, I don't want to cast too many aspersions. It makes you think this is the thing. We've talked about this. There's not only a physical advantage, disadvantage, of performance enhancing drugs, but to the person taking them, there is a huge psychological disadvantage if that is taken away from you. If you fail a drug test and you are no longer on drugs, there's a chasm of like belief in yourself that you've been masking by using these drugs. And now he's going to have to come out and fight in the UFC, which you would consider a level up to what he's fought at, without his super pills behind him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it will be very, very interesting to see what that does.
Just psychologically is it a deficit, let alone massive. You know, what it's going to do, the difference it's going to have physically. I mean, you know, as we've said with other fighters, you know, that he'll maintain some of the benefits because he'll be able to train up past the previous level that he could when he was natural. Yeah. But
I think that's overridden by the chasm that's left by your security blanket not being there anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It it's dangerous. I see it outside of sport. I see it in the general population of 20-something-year-old males who are on gear and doing coke at the weekends. And that's taken away from them, and then their life's devastated.
Yeah, nothing. Not only do their hormones drop, but their self confidence crashes and their egos.
It's rife, and it's a sad state because there's a lot of male suicide, isn't there? Mm. A lot of it. It seems to be getting worse. I just seem to hear about something every week, and it's sad. And I genuinely believe that combination is something to do with it.
Mm. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Putting the world to rights today. Right,
there we go.
Right.
Truman, I was just a bit met. It was just like, yeah, all right. It's just a mid-tier developing sort of fighter coming up, and he just needs some time at the coalface. He's got some decent sort of attacks. He used that southpaw pull a couple of times against Perez. I was like, oh shit, I recognise that. That's a nice bit of striking, and he's got some good skills in the clinch. I just wasn't particularly blown away.
No.
He just seems a mid-tierer.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, split decision loss to Robertson, ground and pound loss to Andrew Sanchez, who Andrew Sanchez is a good grappler, but he's not a world beater.
Yeah.
And then that fight against Marcus Perez, like, you can make a fight more difficult for yourself, and when you're fighting someone like Marcus Perez, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And you can either play that game with him and make it really difficult for yourself, or you can fight smart. Game. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He uses the southpaw pull, but not nearly as much as he should.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Gets a bit stuck on his feet, and you know, we just don't know what we're going to get with Bruno Silva because he's not actually made his UFC debut yet.
Well, I mean, it's tough to make a pick. It sort of depends which Silva turns up, what he looks like after this suspension, what his game is now.
Mm.
You know.
What was he on? What did he fail for?
Boldenone.
Boldenone?
Boldenone, yeah.
Well, at least we know his new nickname then.
Yeah.
Bruno Boldenone Silva. Yeah. Works. It's got a ring to it.
I mean, you know what? I don't know whether that was attributed to contaminated supplements or he's just straight jabbing it in his ass. I'm not sure. but who knows? But you fail.
Contaminated supplements.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Julian Erosa against Seungwoo Choi.
Yeah. A lot of time for Julian Erosa.
He's a real problem for everybody, just with his experience. He's tricky. He's tough. He's, you know what I mean? He's one of those guys that just will not go away.
No.
He will not go away.
Well, he nearly went away, didn't he? Off a three fight loss.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
And now he's on a three fight streak, and he's had two chokes and a flying knee to cement that as a bit of a streak.
Mm-hmm.
He's good, man. I like him. Who did he take on short notice? We talked about him the other week. He like dropped in on short notice. I think the Wednesday before or something, dropped in and won it.
On the UFC?
Hmm. I can't remember. It would be. It would be someone maybe we talked.
It
about
would probably be. It would have probably been his debut.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or no, was it Jamal Emmers? Did they bring him in to try and pick up a win for Jamal Emmers, and he got a fight cancelled? Perhaps. Let's have a quick look.
He's good anyway. I've got a lot of time for him. Who did he fight last? No, it can't have been last time out.
You what?
It can't have been last time out.
No. I think it would have been those kind of circumstances are usually a re-signing to the UFC, aren't they?
Yeah.
Good flying knee knockout of a late Nate Landwehr. Difficult to predict. You know, he goes from a Darce choke to a flying knee finish. You know, he's got what, nearly 40 fights on his record.
Landwehr is not easy to put away. You know what I mean? He's a durable cat, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. And Seungwoo Choi's, he's a very tricky long range fighter. But who did he fight? Let me pull up his record. He did get closed down. He gives body locks really easily. Ivlev. There you go.
He's bad forgiven. Idea. He's bad forgiven. Idea. Yeah. Bad idea.
Yeah. But that was his UFC debut. I remember that. Now I called it. And Ivlev was just all over him, never let him breathe. He never stopped working, but he never got into it. And then he had a really, really good fight against Suman Mokhtarian. That was his first win in the UFC. And those guys just threw down. Both the Mokhtarian brothers are immensely tough and durable and game for a fight.
Do you think Erosa edges it here?
I think based on experience, he does, yeah. I think based on experience. I mean, the good thing is that Sungwoo Choi's got a well-rounded experience in the UFC now. You know, he's 2-2. He's been decision lost. He's been rear naked choked by Gavin Tucker. Then he's had 2 decision wins, but over a guy that will stand and trade with him and a guy in Yusuf Salal that will not ever hold still.
Yeah.
So no matter what version of Erosa he gets, he's seen a bit of that. Yeah. It's just about decision making, and he does tend to charge into range a bit. And because he's so tall, he often gives underhooks quite easily. And Erosa won't take the hard route to victory.
Nice.
If he feels like he can sub him, yeah. If he feels like he can take him down and sub him, and that's the easiest way to go about it, he'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's past the point where he's performing for everybody else now.
Yeah.
Junior Erosa is now at the stage where he's fighting to make his cash. It's his job.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, nice.
He's got 11 submissions. Look at that. 11 knockouts and 11 submissions on his record.
Well-rounded.
Yeah, lovely. Let me just have a quick look at what he's got. So flying knee, Das choke, bulldog choke, head kick to punches, TKO to punches, knee and punches, triangle choke, TKO, doctor stoppage, Bravo choke, knockout from a knee. I mean, we're seeing the pattern here, aren't we? Triangle choke. So it's all about heads and arms, isolating a neck, isolating a head and an arm, or catching them with a knee. A variety of knees. Arm bars in his early career, more Bravos.
Nice. It should be a good fight.
Yeah, I think it should be a really good fight. I think Sungwoo Choi might be just a bit out of his depth in this one.
Yeah. That was my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice.
Okay.
It's a rematch from 2016, isn't it? Marlon and Davy Grant.
Yes.
Is that what you've got next?
Yes, it is, Marlon
and Davy Grant.
Yeah.
It's wild when you look back at that and see the sort of character that Marlon's created around him compared to what he sort of looked like back then. It's like two different people.
Davy Grant was out for a bit, wasn't he? Oh, he lost 2 fights after beating Marlon Vera.
Yeah.
He had the bout with Manny Bermudez was cancelled and moved because Grant got a staph infection. There we go. Yeah. Another cancelled bout against Smolka. Oh, because of coronavirus. Oh, that was the London show, was it? Mm. Yeah, it was. But, you know, like good win. Like Jonathan Martinez is a sociopath, that's for sure. Yeah. I love the kid, but he's mental.
Yeah.
He's definitely unhinged.
He's mental.
Like I sat interviewing him for about 15 minutes in one of the fighter meetings at Fight Island, and he was quiet and he's don't want to make eye contact and, you know, he's real shy. But then all of a sudden he goes off on this story about the school that he went to was near like a juvenile detention center, and often the kids would.
Remember telling me about this? Yeah, they were scrapping this thing.
Like these kids would come out of the detention center, and he would tell his mate, he's like, "I want to fight him," and he'd send his mate, like, you know, like, "Oh, yeah, go ahead, go out for me." Yeah, and he was like calling people out. He's like, "You got a matchmaker," and he was Thai boxing like on grass or on cardboard boxes. Yeah. Low kicking guys, kneeing guys. You know, he's a good fighter.
Yeah.
Davy Grant looked really good in that fight. And he got hurt, didn't he? He got hurt in the first round.
Yeah.
And then came back to stop him in the second. Martin Day's another good finish as well. You know, a really talented striker, good taekwondo background. Grigory Popov again, you know, split decision that one, a bit more challenging.
I just feel like the Marlon that I watched in that fight compared to the Marlon I sort of see now is radically improved. Different.
Yeah. Yeah, like for
radically
sure they
improved, and I do. I think David Grant has got a lot better, but maybe not quite at the same rate. And it'd be interesting to see where that sort of levels out.
Yeah.
Now whether he's slightly above or below or whatever. But yeah, I just feel like whether it's a confidence thing for Marlon or it's him time at the coalface, you know, it's 5 years. That's a hell of a lot of training that's gone in the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's tough, man. He's tough. He's skilled. He lost out to Jose, didn't he, and Sonny Dong, who are both,
yeah,
you know, both very, very legit guys in the division. He, when I look at him, I feel like he would be pissed that he's ranked like 15th in that division, and he's like determined to make that right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because he sort of walks around and his character is someone that is like top 10 in it,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, for sure. He expects himself to be ranked higher, which is part of the reason why he's so aggressive and confident in his fights.
Yeah.
But that fight against Song Yadong, I scored that for him. I thought he had two rounds, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was I've seen a couple of people in the comments say we're quiet. Are we quiet?
No, really? Apparently I like whisper talk.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
We're the Raptors. Are we all good, Raptors? Sounds all right. Okay, well. The what? We'll figure it out. First time we're streaming live on this, so you'll have to bear with us. But let us know in the comments if we are quiet or loud or, you know.
Or useless.
Whatever. Yeah, useless. I mean, well, people don't hold back with that.
No, they don't.
They always tell us.
They love it.
Okay.
Right.
So you going? Who are you going with? You're going with Marlon Vera?
Maybe,
you think he's going to edge it? Yeah,
maybe.
He is a different fighter to the first time around, for sure. And, he's certainly got more of a chip on his shoulder now. And that does come across in his fights. And sometimes I feel like Davy Grant can be a bit of a slow starter. He's a very skilled fighter.
Mm.
I mean, that knockout of Jonathan Martinez, like a lovely little step through, came over the top with the left.
I wonder if him sort of... What is that?
Oh, it's the neighbours working.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I wonder if they can hear that. Well, I can hear it, so.
Carry on.
I wonder if Davey seems to have got more and more confidence in his stand-up. Mm. This might not be the best route for him, is that, to put Marlon on his back and do some damage from a half guard or something might be a better route for him. But if he's like, oh, my striking's going real good.
Yeah.
I think I want to stand and strike with him. Might be a mistake, but...
Yeah. But at the same time, I think he could underestimate Marlon on the ground as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I could see Marlon just attacking him left, right, and center as soon as it hits the ground, and David being like, ah, get out of here.
Right.
I expect this one to be a bit of a kickboxing match. Any tussles when it hits the ground, I think it will be so fiery on both sides that they'll
just
both
disengage
bail out.
And get back up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll go with Marlon, much as I do enjoy Davy Grant. I think he might. Yeah, Marlon
might be a bit much.
Have the edge, yeah.
I mean, he's also been competing up a level, hasn't he?
Mm.
You know, that's the other thing. Like, his expectation of himself is up a bit
now. Yeah, he's in the shark tank up at the top of that division.
Whereas Grant's climbing, he's still on his way. Okay, main event. Alexei Oleinik, 59-15-1 against against Sergei Spivak.
It's like a dads and lads game, isn't it? Your dad brings you down and play football with them. Mate, Oleinik could have fathered him, I think.
he could have done.
So, and then taught him everything he knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd probably be a better fighter if Oleinik could have taught him everything he knew as well.
I mean,
Oleinik's got such depth to his game. Maybe not
funny,
his striking game.
Yeah, it's just a funny matchup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine it any other way other than a very, very intense grappling match, pretty much up against the fence or lying on top of each other for prolonged periods of time. Imagine if they just stand and bang with each other.
No chance. Oleinik's too long in the tooth to realise that he's not interested, is he? He's not rolling
that
dice.
He's not interested.
But my only wish for Oleinik is that he was a bit more, he had a bit more finesse in closing the distance, because he does kind of like high speed zombie, you know what I mean?
Like, all he wants is just to touch it. I got you. That'll do.
Yeah. And I mean, why am I forgetting what it's called? Ezekiel choke. He's ridiculous. Like, you go back and watch when he choked out,
so many times as well.
Yeah, Victor Pesta.
Yeah.
So Victor Pesta was in mount.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, I remember, he was like out. Like, when he sat up, looked at the referee like,
what the fuck?
Why are you stopping the fight? I'm in mount. Like, it was... But then, like, Junior Albini, as soon as he was locked up on the feet, he knew what was happening. He still couldn't stop it. It's a bit like OSP and the Von Flu choke. And it's come to me. Ben Rothwell and the go-go choke.
Yeah.
I think a bit of it is physiology as well.
Yeah.
I had him put it on me.
That body type.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He used his head a lot more than you would think.
Right.
He wrapped me up in it. I was calling his fight in St. Petersburg. But what he does is, obviously, with the gi... you've got a grip cross, there you can work with. So, but he hasn't. So he's just wrapping his arms over one another. But he also is driving a fist into your neck, and he's also driving with his own head as well. So you kind of
just like,
oh, it's horrible.
Do you think especially Olenek is too skilled for this to for them to neutralize each other, and it just becomes a bit of a stalemate? Do you think Olenek has got so many different options that he's unlikely to get stalemated out of it?
Yeah, I do. Because I think he'll always be able to keep the fight moving on the floor. Yeah. And whenever Sergei Spivak, if he ends up on the floor and Spivak decides that he's going to posture up to ground and pound, immediately that space that is created turns the game around to where Olenek starts attacking. The only way it works differently is if Olenek's gone down to the ground because he's hurt.
Right.
Like if Spivak comes in and just blasts him with a couple of shots and he goes down, he might find himself in half guard top with Olenek kind of curled up and covering, and he might be able to get the finish there.
Yeah.
But to take him down and control him is going to be incredibly difficult. And there's no position on the floor that you can be in where you're safe from being attacked.
No, not
like
at all.
If he can sub you from mount bottom, like, you've got to be on his back. But even then, you know he's got some kind of ankle lock, foot lock or
Do something. Not cross your feet. Do not cross your feet. There'll be ankle locking you.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see this becoming a bit of a snooze fest up against the fence, and they just lean on each other.
Yeah.
And they're barely working each other.
Potentially. But then if they are holding each other up against the fence, I'm still picking Olenek to be able to
He'll be the one doing the holding.
Yeah. Spivak's got to keep this one moving, keep it at space, and not let Olenek zombie him and get his hands on him.
Mm.
I mean, it's a pretty straightforward game plan for him, really. Just don't touch him with anything other than the knuckles of your gloves.
No. Don't touch him with anything you're not immediately retracting.
Or you can cut off and triage the fight.
Yeah, I think the old dog will get this, don't you?
Yeah, I kind of feel like he will. But we'll see. I mean, everyone's going to pick Spivak, I think, because obviously he's the younger guy. But, you know, well, let's put it this way. When Alexei Olenek was making his pro debut I've got to scroll a long way down to get to the bottom of his record, against Artem Kondratko at the Minamoto Cup, that was in 1996.
Holy shit.
Which means that Sergei Spivak was just about one.
Genuinely in nappies.
So when Olenek turns around to Spivak and say, "I've had more fights than you've had hot dinners, young man."
He's not lying.
Yeah. Okay, main event.
Yeah, main event.
Go on then. Chan Sung Jun.
Are you doing a war room?
Yes, I am. I'm going to do it immediately after this.
Right.
Might even do it live if people want it. People want it immediately. Oh, no, we're going to add some stuff to it. I'll let the Raptors. Okay. Go on, carry on.
Well, the first thing that struck me is when you think about the Dana White Contender Series, you feel like people coming out of that are like new rookies.
Mm-hmm.
But he's on his 10th fight now in the UFC. Like he's actually been around for a fairly long time, and he's becoming a bit of a mainstay of the roster, isn't he? Like he's a highly, highly skilled fighter. He timed a beautiful right hand against Gavin Tucker, didn't he? Mm. Like it was
same thing. Traded the low kick.
Yeah. But
traded the low kick.
They mirrored each other for a little bit. They went in, out. They both went out, and then in, out. And then they both came in at the same time. And he's like, boop! And it was very, very nice. He's good, man. He's very good. And I think this is a good test for him. But I think he could come out all right here.
You reckon, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm. You see, like Dan Ige's got good footwork, but when he attacks, he tends to move in a straight line.
Mm.
Like he moves, and then he goes. And when he's covering distance, it's usually started with a left hook or a right hand or his level changing.
Yeah.
And he did a level change and shot across the octagon against Calvin Kattar.
Yeah.
Wasn't able to finish any takedowns.
Yeah.
I don't think it's wise for him to be on the ground with Korean Zombie because, like, you think back to Zombie's UFC debut. So, like, he was famous and he was, like, the Zombie name became a thing after his first fight with Leonard Garcia in WEC.
From the Twister?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. No, his first fight with Leonard Garcia was a war.
Yeah.
Just an absolute, absolute crazy fight. But then when they both signed with the UFC, when WEC was absorbed, that was the first fight to make for both of them.
Yeah.
But then obviously everyone expected it to look like the last fight, and Zombie twisted him in the, you know, first round.
I feel like Chan Sung-jung, well, Korean Zombie, has, because of his name, he almost has more kudos than his record actually suggests, because he's pretty inconsistent. Like, he'll win a few, he'll lose a few. He took a couple of years out on, he's on national service, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in the military.
In South Korea. Yeah.
Guarding the wall.
Is that what, yeah, right.
Well, it's, you know.
Yeah.
North
are they,
of the wall.
Are they made up now? I think they've all made, I think they have.
Have they?
I think they've made up a little bit. Like, I think a while ago, it was the first time maybe the president had been in North Korea or the other way around. Like, they'd stood on each other's ground or something like that.
Is that right?
Yeah. Weird. Countries are weird.
Weird. I understand what you mean about the inconsistency, but it's like when he's on, people are like, oh, this guy is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, one of the best knockouts that you'll ever see in the UFC, and not because it was anything particularly flamboyant, but because it was so clean, was the Moicano knockout.
Yeah.
And one thing that's worth bearing in mind about a Korean Zombie's mentality is, because he's got that zombie mentality, because he doesn't mind taking shots and his priority is always to land his own, sometimes he'll take some in the process. But because he steps into the octagon with that mindset of, you can hit me, I'm going to hit you at the same time, and I'm going to win this trade, he's able to stay present with his eyes open while people are throwing shots. So, like, in that moment where Moicano throws his jab, instead of the Korean Zombie blinking his eyes and turning his head away or slipping with his eyes closed, he waits for the perfect opportunity, eyes open, like, you can hit him and it doesn't matter, and he just moves his head to the center line and cracks him with the right hand. It's his ability to stay present in the pocket, because he just doesn't care if you hit him.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know if Dan Ige's got the pop to really cause him any issues.
Okay.
I mean, Brian Ortega hit him with all kinds of stuff. That's elbow that he caught him with, you know. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying with, like, he stays in the pocket.
So if Brian Ortega couldn't put him away with all of that, can Dan Ige put him away?
I think the best thing for Dan Ige to do is to look at a decision victory and just completely outpoint him.
Right.
Because, like, there's a lot that can be learned from the Calvin Kattar fight for Dan Ige. You know, he tried a lot of things and he just wasn't able to do it.
Mm.
And if he allows it, this fight's going to look very much the same.
Right.
I mean, Kattar's got a slightly higher work rate, but I would say that Korean Zombie's got probably pound for pound a little bit more power in his hands. He's just got natural power, Korean Zombie. And because he's able to stay present in the pocket, he's able to land it so cleanly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right. Interesting.
And he was all over Frankie Edgar in that first round as well. It was a really good performance.
Mm.
But yeah. I think the smart thing for Danny, I'll discuss it a bit more in depth in the war room, but I think the smart thing for Dan Ige to do is to not attack first.
Right.
Like, move laterally, feint, move into range a little bit, see if you can get Korean Zombie to throw. Because Zombie's going to wait for you to go.
Right.
Like, he wants to counter your shots. So he pressures and offers his face as bait. So you throw and he slips and counters.
Okay.
If Ige's attacking first, he's either going to run onto a straight right, or he's going to get countered as he's throwing the punch. I think that there's a smart way for him to approach this. And he is a smart guy, you know, and one of the reasons why I say that is because he's already started thinking about his post-career. Like, he's getting into fighter management and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
So he is a planner.
Yeah.
You know, it shows that mentality. And the best thing for him to do is to feint, get Zombie to throw first, and then chase his punches back. Because Zombie is kind of, he does throw one shot at a time. So once that one shot's gone and started to retract, he could probably chase it in with two or three. It's actually going to be a tough fight for Ige to win, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
I do.
Right.
But I rate Zombie highly. And even if he's able to ground Zombie, like he wasn't able to do against Calvin Kattar.
You're rolling the dice down there.
You're rolling the dice there.
Bad.
I mean, you know, Leonard Garcia's no mug and he got twisted.
I know. What a sub to be able to pull off at that level.
Amazing.
It's not easy, is it?
It's not easy.
Not at all. Yeah.
Especially because it's one of those submissions that the person knows what's happening as it's happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know it. You know what they're doing. Like, your leg's locked down. They're trying to clear this arm to...
Oh, no.
It's all falling apart.
What was it?
That was David Boy Smith.
Oh,
he's no longer with us. Bless him.
He's out the Royal Rumble.
Oh, dear. Well, Friday's coming.
He's gone over the edge of the cage in the Royal Rumble.
Well, Friday's coming and Owen Oxley's coming over and we've got a whole bag of toys to go through. So we'll find some replacements for him. I think there's a Ric Flair in that bag as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a mystery bag. Someone's donated them to us. Good old Steve Smith. He's a big fan of the channel and he's donated a whole bag of uh, whole bag of toys for us to play with. I'm going to get an N64 out as well.
Oh, with Owen on the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
GoldenEye. You must have been a guy. Of course, GoldenEye.
The only game.
The only game.
May as well have only bought that out for N64.
It should have just been built into the console, that.
Yeah.
It was amazing, that. Oh, that's one bit of pop culture you remember. Maybe that's why you don't remember fucking that, yeah. Anything else.
It was just that.
Maybe that's why
that
you don't remember Star Wars.
Champ Manager destroyed my GCSEs.
Is that right?
Yeah. Awful.
GoldenEye was mine.
Yeah.
I wasted so much time on GoldenEye.
Yeah, right. Oh, good. Well, I hope they enjoyed it live.
Yeah, right. First, how was this? Should we ask for questions? You got any questions? If you've got questions, drop them in the group.
There's 360 of you. You must have a question.
You got 300? I've got 418 online. 422 now.
Being weird. Let me refresh mine.
So, your internet's just 4 days older than mine, isn't it? Because you're older. Your internet is reflected on the age between us. How's your training been going? You were on the mats yesterday with the team, weren't you?
Yeah, it's going all right.
It's going all right.
It's going all right. I'm finding my level. Yeah. There's a level at the gym I can't deal with.
You had a horrible round.
Normally begins with James and ends with Wallhead. I just can't deal with it. It's just I've got no answers to his questions. It's miserable. But no one else does. So
that's true.
It was too bad about
it. At least that makes you feel a bit better. The fact that everybody else is in the same boat with him.
Our Monday is, we were chatting about it earlier, it's brutal.
It is.
It's just brutal.
I love it. Well, people have been seeing a few photos and a bit of a live stream as well. And
it's not stupid brutal.
Yeah.
It's just... It's
the pace is brutal. Oh, I've got some questions coming through here. Why don't you have a Barbie? Because why would I? Nate V. Tony, yes, please.
Yeah, go for
it. At 170. I want to see Tony at 170. What's my number one lock? I like Yale. Yale are good locks. I think my front door lock is a Yale.
Can't think of another lock.
What else?
Who's your pick for the next Leon?
Are you fighting Logan Paul? I'd take that fight any day of the week, you know me. Remember Brandon Vera? Yes, I do remember Brandon Vera.
Yeah, Brandon Vera's still around.
Yeah, he fights in one. He's just lost the heavyweight title.
He's lost a few, I think, recently, hasn't he? But
he lost to Ung La as well, because he went down to fight Ung La for the light heavyweight belt, which obviously in one is 225.
Yeah.
But yeah, jeez.
What we got?
Do you like only dollies or muscle men? What? Who calls them dollies?
Dollies? What are you for?
All right, anyway. These are shit questions. You lot are a letdown. I thought we were going to get some good shit.
Anything?
Think of them for next time. What's the next card we're doing?
What's next week? It's just fast.
Oh, hang on. There's a voice in the wall.
No, it's not next week.
He's such a McGregor fanboy, isn't he? It's ridiculous. Get your hand out of your pants, mystery. I'm not even looking and I know you're doing it. Volkov against Gann next week.
Oh, good. I'll be interested to watch Cyril again. You know, he was very good last time out, wasn't he?
Yeah. Shavkat Rakhmonov on the card. Oh, Jai Herbert against Moicano. Oh,
ooh.
That's a rough one. Moicano. Very, very good fighter. And another good example of someone going up a weight class.
Yeah.
And looking shit hot. All right. Well, we'll wrap it there then, shall we?
Yeah, let's wrap it there. I was just seeing if there's any questions coming through. East London MMA gym recommendation.
Who's in East London? Brad Pickett?
Yeah.
Must be.
Yeah, Brad Pickett.
I think so. Wicked.
All right, let's wrap it.
Nice one.
Nice.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining the live stream. Hope you've enjoyed it. See you next week.
Yeah.